there is a classification of superalgebra which was done by Katz. And then Nam, using that, found that superconformal algebras are quite miraculous objects in the theory of superconformal algebras. And essentially, he showed Nam theorem shows that there exist superconformal algebras only for space-time dimensionless terror equal than 6. So they exist only in this case. You can have superconformal algebras.
You
Okay.
said first Katz
Katz classified superly algebras. And then Nam used the classification to show it. And so the question is whether there exist corresponding CFTs, superconformal field theories, which has these superconformal algebras as symmetry groups, which arise as representations, if you wish, of this superconformal algebra. And now for D less than or equal than 4, this is okay. You can show that there are them. You can construct them. In many cases, you can construct them using Lagrangians. It's fine. But for D equal to 5 and 6 is a little bit more mysterious, more complicated. Okay. So from the point of view of quantum field theory, their existence is due to certain conjectures by Seiberg and other people, also probably Witten is involved. But there are certain papers by Seiberg around 96 in which he explained some sort of necessary condition for starting from a given quantum field theory and ending up with a CFT in 5 and 6 dimensions. And one can say, in fact, these are conjectures, but one can say that their existence is some sort of a prediction of string theory. Can you see if I write as big? It's fine. Okay. And the logic for essentially both of these arguments is to start from a phase of the system in which conformal symmetry is broken, like an infrared Coulomb phase, or Coulomb-like phase, and then argue for the existence of a conformal point. So and essentially, in the context of string theory, this amounts to finding a configuration, a string theory configuration, in which you don't have scales. Okay. So why is this useful? This approach is useful because in this case you can use ordinary degrees of freedom to describe the constituents of your model, because you don't have a superconformal algebra, you have just a superalgebra. So you can use the usual supermultiplets that you have at your disposal. So for example, in this talk, we are going to be involved with the case of D equal to 6. And we will have a 1,0 supermultiplets. Which are useful degrees of freedom for the tensorial Coulomb branch of this superconformal six-dimensional theories. And in this case, I mean, you will have like ordinary hypers and fermions. You have vectors, vector multiplets, and fermions. And then you have tensor multiplets, which are with fermions. So notice that vector multiplets in six dimensions do not have scalar superpartners, and so these theories do not have a Coulomb phase, a gauge Coulomb phase. But you have scalars in the tensor multiples. The tensor multiples are given by anti-self-dual tensor fields, which is essentially the reason why we don't have Lagrangians for these theories, because we have an anti-self-dual field here. However, there is some sort of a tensorial Coulomb phase, which is obtained by giving waves to the scalars in the tensor multiples. And along a dimensional reduction, this will become an ordinary Coulomb phase in 5D, say. And this is why people call it this phase a Coulomb phase for the six-dimensional theories. There are many examples of superconformal systems in six dimensions. So typical ones from string theory. In fact, I mean, there is no, I mean, beside the conjectures by Seiber, which says essentially when you expect to be able to complete your system to a conformal point, say in five or six dimensions, there is not a quantum field theory, purely quantum field theoretical construction of this model. You have to postulate the existence of a bigger machine, the string theory, which then allows you to predict their existence, because this arises typically as theories which describe world volumes of solitons in, say, for example, M theory or F theory configurations. So, as examples, there is a well-known example. You take M5 brains and a stack of M5 brains give rise to a 6D 2.0 theory of type A M minus 1. And I think that you are familiar with this. I'm not sure, but so essentially, I mean, the idea is that you have a the Coulomb phase is obtained by essentially separating the M5 brains, and when you bring them together, you reach the conformal point in which this description is expected. Other examples of 2.0 theory, and essentially all 2.0 theories can be obtained by considering type 2B on an ADE singularity, where gamma is a discrete subgroup of SU2. So these are classified by ADE from McKay correspondence. And from this follows that you expect 6D 2.0 theories of type G, where G is the discrete subgroup. Other examples now of 1.0 theories, these were 2.0, 1.0, are obtained by considering a stack of MM5 brains, for example, probing a C2 mod gamma singularity in M theory. Or another very interesting example is given by always using M5s. If you put an end of the world M9 brain in the Hojava-Witten construction, this is the Ganor and Hanani description of heterotic E8 instantons. An example. Now, you see, we cannot say much of this system. I mean, can say something, but already their existence has very deep implications. Okay? As examples of this, from the existence of 2.0 theories, you're able to derive, in a sense, the Montonello-Live duality. For n equal to 4 superior Mills. By compactifying them on tori. And the Montonen Olive duality, it's an SL to Z action here. And this SL to Z is identified with the SL to Z of the torus. So another example, which is due essentially to Gagliotto and Gagliotto, Murer, Naizke, is from compactification on Riemann surfaces by twisting the R symmetry of these models. These models has a USP4 R symmetry, and you can twist half of it along the holonomy of a Riemann surface, so that you end up with a four-dimensional n equal to 2 theory of class S. And the S dualities of 4D n equal to 2 theories are geometrized by this construction, as they the S duality group correspond to the mapping class group of this Riemann surface. So we see that already from just the existence of these systems, we are able to predict very interesting aspects of non-perturbative physics for theories which live in lower space-time dimensions. Okay. Are there questions up to here? Or okay. So now in between. For the n equal to 2 theories, there are known systems. Which have an SL to Z action, an SL to Z duality, but are not not in class S. Or not yet, I mean, because the story there is not over. So in between them, we have the affine E6, 7, and 8 quiver theories, which are quiver theories realized as follows. For example, this would be the affine E6. Then there are analogs for E7 and E8 by just putting here the Coxeter labels of the corresponding graph and multiplying them by M. And another example is given by some exceptional CFTs, which are the double affine 6, 7, and 8 CFTs, which were constructed in 2011 by Cecotti and Vaffa. And these are theories which you can think of as obtained by gauging an SU2 flavor symmetry. Of systems. Of Argyris Douglas theories of type DP. And there are only three of them which can give rise to conformal theories, because the beta function of DP systems goes as P minus 1 over P times 2. And you see that if you want to consider a system of DP theories, and you want to gauge a diagonal SU2 flavor symmetry of this system, you can make an SU2 beta function vanish only for the following values of P1, P2, and P3. And if you allow for a fourth one, there is an extra one, which is this one. And that's it. You cannot have with one SU2, you cannot have anything more. And so these are, if you wish, quiver-like theories in which you have some non-Lagrangian constituents. And notice also that D2 is just a free hyper, a double, let's say. And therefore, in these cases, you end up with something which looks like this. And essentially, by inspection of the BPS spectra.
What about 155?
It does not work. You need the 4 minus the sum over I of 2 times pi minus 1 over pi to vanish. One is yes. One is there is no. I mean, D1 is like empty. There is no. And essentially, from inspection of the BPS spectra of these systems, one finds that that there is an SL2Z action. Which is the usual one in the sense that this system here is just SU2 and F equal to 4. Okay, so it's a slight generalization of the usual SL2 exact SL2Z duality for SU2 and F equal to 4. And this SL2Z action is actually the reason why these theories are dubbed elliptic CFTs because their BPS states have charges which are valued in the root lattices of exceptional affinely algebras of this type, and these are doubly extended, and therefore one has two S1s in the construction, and from these two S1s one essentially deduces this SL2Z action. And the question is whether all this can be geometrized. In particular, for example, the conformal manifolds for these theories, for the affine quiver theories, is known to correspond from works by Katz, Meyer, and Baffa in the 90s. Is known to correspond to the moduli space of flat E67 and E8 connections on T2. It is E611 is this one. This would be E7, and this would be E8.
Yes, but you are associating.
Yes, I'm associating them quivers, BPS quivers. But I don't want to discuss them today. So it's just, if you want, we can expand it later. But essentially, the point is that there are certain SL2Z actions in the space of 4D n equal to 2 theories. There are torus which we do not understand yet. And so the question is, where do they come from? Can we explain it? Can we like derive it or generalize it? And indeed, yes, we can, using precisely the existence of 1,0 theories. And in fact, what we will see is that we get a generalization. So we predict the existence of infinite families of models with an exact SL2Z action beyond the ones that are on the blackboard now. And moreover, we find that the story is more interesting than what it seems. I mean, if you naively think about putting 61,0 theory on a torus, you say, well, okay, you will obtain one four-dimensional n equal to 2 theory. But this is not the case, because 61,0 theories have Flavour symmetries. And so as you go down on the torus, you can activate also to five dimensions. You can activate Wilson lines, which breaks the Flavour symmetry. And therefore, you can obtain many, many more theories than only one. Okay. So there is a rich family of 4D n equal to 2 theories, which correspond to a single 61,0 theory on T2. And this is essentially the Ganor-Morrisor Seiberg mechanism, in which, these guys studied the case of a single heterotic instanton, E8 instanton. And they found that this corresponds to several theories down in four dimensions with Flavour symmetries E8, E7, E6, then D4, and then they have also A3, A2, A1. Also, another thing that we are able to do is we obtain a proof for a conjecture, recent conjecture, by Omori, Shumizu, Yonekura, Tachikawa, which are also working on this topic and essentially consider the case of 1 and 5 probing a C2 mod gamma and had a conjecture about the corresponding 4D n equal to 2 theory. And we are able to prove this conjecture and extend it to cover all other cases. So what is our strategy? Well, the strategy is essentially to exploit string dualities. So one very useful machine to produce six-dimensional 1,0 theories is given by F-theory compactification on singular elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefold. So I don't know how much familiar you are with F-theory. It is essentially just, if you want, you can think about it as if it is a type 2B compactification. Instead of compactifying it on a Calabi-Yau space, you compactify it on a Keller space by allowing the axiodilaton field of type 2B to have monodromies to compensate the fact that you don't have a Calabi-Yau but a Keller manifold for F-theory. So it's essentially is a way of compactifying type 2B by keeping it non-perturbative. Okay, because you need monodromies for the axiodilaton field. And then the fact that you have a Keller manifolds gives you more freedom and allows you to obtain systems with less supersymmetry. And in fact, 61,0 theories correspond here again to quotients of C2 by a discrete subgroup, but this time, this is a discrete subgroup of U2, because you have a Keller basis. Okay? And also, not all discrete subgroup work. Essentially, this is related to the logic that I told you. You have to start from a phase with broken conformal symmetry and argue for the existence of a conformal point. So in F-theory, the Coulomb phase of the system, say you have your basis, okay? Here you have your elliptic fiber. And that you use, essentially, you use this auxiliary torus to parameterize the monodromies of the axiodilaton field, okay? So the axiodilaton field becomes the modular parameter for this torus, and you just use it to. So you start from a Coulomb phase. A Coulomb phase is engineered by considering a collection here of curves in the base, which are part of what is called the discriminant of the elliptically fiber at Calabi-Yau threefold, and are loci where this elliptic fiber can acquire singularities. So it can this torus can pinch, okay, like this, for example. And whenever this happens, your axial dilaton field will have monodromies around this cycle in the base. Okay. Now, the components of this discriminant of the locus where your elliptic fiber degenerates are curves which have typically the topology of a P1, and the condition to have to be able to reach a conformal point is a condition which asks that you are able to shrink all of these of these curves in the base to a point at finite distance in moduli space. And this is accomplished by this is a problem which is well known and was studied by mathematicians, and it is solved essentially by Grauert criterion, which requires essentially that the intersection matrix of this divisor in the base of your elliptically fiber at Calabi-Yau threefold, the intersection matrix is negative definite. Okay, so if they have a negative definite intersection matrix, then you can shrink them down to a point. Okay. And then, therefore, as you can do that at finite distance in moduli space, you are able to argue for the existence of a CFT, which has this description as a tensorial Coulomb branch. Now the idea is that so you will have D3 and D7 brains, okay? If you want to think about this if you want me to give you a description of the Coulomb branch in terms of these degrees of freedom, okay? So the D7 brains wrapping these compact divisors give rise to gauge theories in the transverse direction. We have six transverse directions, right? The fiber in F theory is immaterial. It's just a way to encode how I want to fiber the axial dilaton field. You have to think about it as type 2B on this two-dimensional Keller surface. Okay, so I have six dimensions, which are free and flat. So I have my D7 brains wrapping a one dimensional cycle here will give rise to transverse in spacetime, give rise to gauge theories. And these are the gauge theory sectors of my tensorial Coulomb branch. And the D3 brains wrapping these P1s in the base give rise to strings in the transverse R6. And these are the strings which couples with these tensorial anti-self dual fields. Okay? So this is how we engineer a Coulomb phase. And then from Grauert criterion, we know when a given configuration of curves can be shrinked down to a point, and this amounts to a superconformal point in the moduli space, which is engineered using F theory. Okay. So now, what is the idea? We want to use this machine to engineer these models, because we know they are there, so we want to like find them in F theory. F theory was used also to propose a classification recently of all possible 61,0 theories. And so the first question that one would like to ask is what have this example in common? So apparently they don't have anything in common, right? We have some quiver gauge theories in 4D, which are usual quiver theories. So this is an SUM gauge group. These are bifundamental hypermultiplets. And here you have some crazy systems engineered using strongly interacting superconformal field theories with an SU2 Flebor symmetry, engaging it, coupling it to a gauge group. However, the Argyris-Douglas TP systems admit a generalization. Where can I write? Okay, can I erase this? So they admit a generalization to systems which are called the P of G, superconformal field theories. And I mean, these are generalizations in the sense that these are superconformal field theories with a G flavor symmetry, global flavor symmetry. And in particular, the beta function contribution of this system is the following. In 4D. And in between these systems, there is a subclass, which is given by P of SUMP, which is Lagrangian. So most of this theory are strongly interacting and have no weakly coupled presentation, but these ones have one. And it's just a leg, essentially, of a quiver. And you can see that if I choose here P, be 3, 3, 3, and I gauge the diagonal SU3M flavor symmetry of this system with an SU3M gauge group, by the same mechanism as before, I will obtain a CFT, and it is this one. So these systems are labeled by an integer p and their flavor symmetry, and their beta function contribution is p minus 1 over p times the dual Coxeter. Here I'm considering just a subclass, which is those which are labeled by p, and as group they have su m times p. And in this case, you see that this contribution becomes an integer number, and so you can expect that they are gauge theories, ordinary, described by ordinary matter, and indeed they are these ones. And similarly, if you take 2, 4, 4, you will get the hat 7, and if you take 2, 3, and 6, you will get the e hat 8. So again, the same triple of numbers, okay. So is there a way of geometrizing these triples? Well, yes, and an interesting one from our purpose. So essentially, these numbers, these tuples, are the same as the order of the stabilizers of fixed points for orbifolded tori. You get T2 mod Z2, 3, 4, and 6. These are the only possible orbifold groups for tori. And Z2 is there for any possible torus. Z3 requires that tau is e to the 2 pi I over 3. Z4 requires that tau is I. And Z6 is the same again. Tau is e to the 2 pi I, 3. In this case, the torus acquires an extra symmetry, and you can orbifold with respect to it, with respect to these discrete cyclic groups, okay? In many perplex spaces. So the idea is your torus is like this, okay? Say that you want to do the case in which n is equal to 4 here. Tau is equal to I, you have a square, okay? And you're identifying this with this and this with that. And now you have these points, okay? So this is black. And your action, your Z4 action, is such that this point is fixed, this point is fixed, and this point is mapped to that point. So you can see that this point corresponds to a, if you wish, a, has a, multiplicity 4 because you have a z4 z4 quotient. Okay, so it is like a, if you want, it's like a C2. Say, well, let's say z4 has a stabilizer. This is z4 because they are mapped into themselves, while these two these two correspond to the same orbit and have only a z2 as a stabilizer. So you have 2, 4, and 4. And similarly, for 3, you have 3, 3, 3. And for 6, you have 2, 4, and 6, as which are the same numbers here. Yes, just one cyclic group. So, what is the point? The point is that this orbifolded toray already shows up in the F-theory construction of 61,0 theories. And these are a part, shows up in what are called minimal 61,0 models. These are models which correspond to minus n over p1 bundles. So in you have to think about them as if they are given by a. So with respect to the sketch that I gave before, so you have your Kähler base. Here you have only one cycle, which is this p1, and it has self intersection minus n. Okay. Now. In this case, n can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 12. And for n equal to 1, you get one heterotic E8 instanton. For n equal to 2, you get the A2 1,0 theory, A2,0 theory. A1, yes. It's just a single minus 2. And then here, you get some different type of models, which are in particular non-Higgsable. Meaning that to have an elliptic Calabi-Yau, your fiber is forced to become more singular along this cycle. And in particular, you have for example, for minus 3, your fiber develops a singularity, which gives rise to a SU3 gauge group. For minus 4, get an SO8. And then for minus 6, you get an E6. Minus 8, you get an E7. And for minus 12, you get an E8. I'm listing only this. It's possible to get also this one. This gives rise to an F4. And this gives rise to an E7 with a half 56 hyper. But I'm listing these ones because these ones have also a realization in geometry, which is related. So the orbifolds that we are interested in. And in fact, these are given by acting and everything everywhere else is zero. On T2 times C2. So we are acting with alpha squared on T2 and with alpha minus 1 on C2. Okay, and alpha to the 2k is equal to 1, where k is 1 of 2, 3, 4, and 6. This is an example. So, or more precisely, if you wish. No, this is more precise. This is in the 3, 4, 6, 8, and 12. So these are orbifold singularities. And these three are natural candidates to reproduce these systems, in a sense. And the way in which we are going to show it is by dualities, by using dualities. So what you need to know is that if you put F theory on S1, say you have F theory on a tripfold, and you consider a compactification of this on S1, you are going to flow to M theory on the same tripfold, in which now you remember the fiber of the elliptically fibered tripfold is immaterial in F theory, but if you are introducing here a scale, which is the scale of the S1 of the compactification, you are essentially translating this scale into the fact that now in M theory, the elliptic fiber becomes accessible. So it acquires a size. And then you use the usual fact that M theory on X times S1 R prime is just type 2A on X. So we have two S1s. It is our torus. And we end up with an engineering of type 2A on a Calabi-Yau trifold, which gives rise to a 4D n equal to 2 system. However, type 2A from type 2A is typically hard to extract the side Revitan curve of the model if X is a complicated trifold. And one strategy to extract it, to extract the side Revitan geometry, our aim, we use mirror symmetry. And we go to type 2B on the mirror. And then from the mirror construction, it is relatively easy to extract the Seibert-Witten curves. So essentially here, once we do this, we are going to end up with a Landau-Ginzburg. Description. Essentially, this model is going to be characterized by a 2,2 2D CFT with a Landau-Ginzburg potential, which has C hat equal to 3. And this 2,2 2D theory is going to have exactly marginal deformations in correspondence to the complex structure deformation of this. And we can represent it. It's moduli space. And at special points, we are going to be able to tune the parameters of these Landau-Ginzburg potentials to produce loci in which we get C hat less than 2 superconformal systems, which made up for the C hat equal to 3 of the original one by decoupling a Liouville subsector. This Liouville subsector can be interpreted as responsible for the extra modes, which are the Kaluza-Klein modes for this toroidal reduction. And the C hat less than 2 core part of the special point of the along moduli space gets interpreted instead as a Seibert-Witten geometry for a 4D CFT, provided provided there is a scaling symmetry. Which gets identified with the U1R subgroup of the for the n equal to 2 superconformal algebra. What we are going to see essentially, let's try to do this for the example of the minimal models and see what we are going to get. So let's do just the case of the six one, which is, so we're going to just do this case as an example. So the mirror is obtained combining results of Hori Vafa and with other results by Vafa himself. There is a very nice paper on mirror symmetry and tachyon condensation, in which essentially all the techniques that leads to this mirror are explained. And so say, so in this case, for this model, so we have an orbifold of 2 times C2 with respect to this action for alpha a sixth root of unity. Okay. So this is the part which corresponds to T2 mod Z3. And alpha, these are C variables because T2 is compact. And these YIs are C star variables, which correspond to the non-compact direction, the 2 of C2. This alpha here is essentially the parameter which correspond in the mirror to the size of the torus. And these are the twisted fields for the orbifold. See, this is the Landau-Ginzburg potential, okay? So we have not assigned to it a Calabi-Yau already. This is the Landau-Ginzburg description of the moduli space, if you wish, of complex structure of the Calabi-Yau, in which the various coefficients of the twisted fields corresponds to the complex structure deformation of the mirror. And now you see we have a part which is this T2 mod Z3. We have a part which is responsible for the C2. And the fact that we are orbifolding by this action dictates which coefficients, which twisted fields can we use. And the fact that, for example, here we are acting with the same root of unity dictates the fact that these monomials in yi in y1 and y2 appears with the same order. And essentially, yes, you just combine the two actions and you write down the deformation, which are such that this combination gives rise to fields which in two dimensions have U1R charges, which is 1. And hey, but that would be not compatible with the orbifold.
The action on y1, I mean, if you replace y1 squared, same
for that? No, because it acts on both. So you need, I mean, that is not preserved. It's a field which is projected out.
The action of y1 and y2 is not preserved.
slightly different. So this action is on the coordinate of this C2 and maps the I into alpha minus 1 times the I. And then to this orbifold action, you are able to assign a mirror, which is this one, in which the order of these monomials is dictated by the order of the roots that acts here. And then the structure of the twisted fields is dictated by the structure of these powers. So you see, in principle, you can have, say, alpha R1 and alpha R2 here. And if you have different coefficients, you will have different different possible combinations here, which are allowed. Okay. Now, what we want to do now is we want to find this this point, a point with the c hat less than 2. And to do that, we will just have to tune these coefficients. And you can see that it is quite easily that that you can tune them in such a way that you end up with it's y1 cubed plus y2 cubed squared. So if you tune this to 2 and the others to 0, you end up with this. And now you can essentially go to a patch in which y2 is 1, or equivalently, you can decouple a Liouville subsector by essentially collecting this monomial out of the potential and redefining all the variables appropriately. And you end up with a y1 cubed plus 1 square term, which replaces this part, okay? And now this is like a C variable. It's a W squared. So eventually, you end up with a model which has C hat equal to 1. Because this part has C hat equal to 1. This C star variable each contribute 1 to C hat, and this gives you the C hat equal to 3. But if you do this deformation, you end up with a point which has purely C hat equal to 1. Which comes from this part, because a quadratic C variable contributes 0 to C hat for a potential. Just a quadratic contribution to the superpotential, you can integrate it out. And this geometry is precisely the geometry that Vaffa and the Cecotti and Vaffa in 2011 assigned to this model. And so we have shown that by taking the Landau-Ginzburg mirror for the V6 theory, we recover a point in its moduli space which has C hat less than 2 and a scaling symmetry, because now you can rescale of all of these variables and this scaling symmetry is going to be identified with the U1R from which you can compute the dimensions by requiring that the Calabi-Yau top form has mass dimension 1 as usual. And you end up with this model, essentially with the Landau-Ginzburg description that was proposed for this model. And similarly, if you consider 8 and 12 here, we'll end up with these two. So we have found an explanation for the SL2Z action in these exotic theories. And I have to mention that in this case, for this theory, this action was also justified as essentially using cyber-Witten cures by another group active in Rutgers, like Buchan and I don't remember all collaborators. Also Giacomelli is involved. So for this theory, it was known. But now it's easy to generalize this. So I don't have that much time left. And I wanted to discuss also another example. Well, I will go wherever I can. So essentially, You see, when I discussed the examples of possible 1,0 theories, one of them was given by this theory of M5 brains probing a C2 mod gamma, right? And essentially, this system corresponds to a 6D 1,0 theory, which has a G times G Flavour symmetry. This fact can be argued by, for example, considering the near horizon limit for this configuration of M5 brains. And in F theory, this has a dual description in which the stack of M5 brains, we know what it is. It is just the M singularity. And these two Flavour symmetries correspond to, now I'm drawing a picture of the base, correspond to two non-compact divisors, which supports each a C2 mod. I mean, it supports a G-type elliptic fiber. And meets at this point. Now the question is whether we can engineer such systems using orbifolds, as we did. And in fact, we can. So if one takes an orbifold action, which is like this, now A is again in 2, 3, 4, 6, and then here, let's say this is G, this is H, and B is in ZM, in Z, say this is K, this is in ZNK. One can see that, example, if I take the element G times H to the N, this will correspond to A1, sorry, and A minus 1 here. So you see that there are two loci, there are two fixed loci in which I have two type of singularities of that ZK, which give rise to, as we have discussed, SO8, E6, E7, and E8 symmetries in F theory. And they are going to meet at a point which has a Zn singularity, and this fact can be shown by rescaling the coordinates to Zi to the k, as is dictated by the structure of these two non-compact divisors which meet at this point. So you have to redefine the Zi coordinate to see what is the actual singularity of the geometry where they meet, and you end up by doing this rescaling to orbifold actions, you end up with just a Zn in this case, sorry, Zm singularity there. So there is a possibility of engineering these systems using orbifold, and therefore we can use the same type of strategy to derive their Landau-Ginzburg potentials. And what we are going to see, what one can see by using essentially the same method, so one tunes the coefficients of W and finds a point with C hat less than 2 and a scaling symmetry, is that one obtains precisely this type of elliptic theories. So one obtains what we call E6, 1, 1, 7, 8, SUNK. As these are natural generalizations of these ones. And these are precisely the 6, 7, 8 hat quiver theories in which the central node is this one. More in general, one can consider orbifolds of the type Z2K in gamma, groups generated like this. Also here, I mean the group generated by G and H, where Z2K acts in this way, and gamma is just a discrete subgroup of SU2. And essentially, by the same argument, by considering the fixed point of these actions on the tori, we can see that one will end up with theories which have which are again dictated by these multiplicities, because these fixed points are going to give rise to the three singularities. Here we have a Z2 and two Z4. And here we have a Z2, a Z3, and a Z6 singularity. And these singularities correspond precisely to this D type of theories. In this case, we are going to end up with a G, flavor symmetry, and G gauge symmetry, as dictated by the orbifold action. Essentially, we predict that all of this system will enjoy an exact SL to Z duality. As associated to the coupling corresponding to this gauge group, which is exactly marginal, and correspond precisely to this parameter here, the parameter of which correspond to the size of the torus in the mirror. More in general, what we find is that this point for theories, you see, these theories have this flavor symmetry, and so we can start turning on Wilson lines for them, and this means that we expect to find more fixed points here. And one thing that we realized is that you can end up with class S. Theories, as was essentially proposed for the case of m equal to 1 by Omori Shumizu, Yonekura, and Tachikawa. So how you see a class S theory in this setup? Well, the idea is that your point with C hat less than 2 and scaling symmetry is going to look like this. It's going to have to be an ADE singularity, whose locus, say, will depend on three variables, which are then functions of this xi and yj. And these functions are such that when I consider this locus is a Riemann surface. Which is the Riemann surface of the class S construction. Okay, so essentially, you see, we will find points in which we can tune the coefficients of the Landau-Ginzburg model. All of this is explicit. We can do it explicitly. We tune the coefficients of the Landau-Ginzburg model in such a way that we realize a C hat less than 2 subsector, which is an ADE singularity whose locus is a Riemann surface. And this Riemann surface is the Riemann surface corresponding to the class S engineering. So we have an ADE classification of them, and there is this ADE classification of 2,0 theory. This is very natural in a sense. I mean, in type 2B, a 2,0 theory corresponds to a singularity of type ADE. Now, when you do the class S construction, you twist the SU2 an SU2R subgroup of the R symmetry of the 2,0 theory along a Riemann surface, and now here we are essentially doing that using the Calabi-Yau condition. Yes, also, but those would not be of class S. Here, what I was saying is that there are points in which you find class S constructions, and indeed, I mean, for example, for this conformal matter, we find a point in which we have a sphere with m plus two punctures, of which m are simple and two are full punctures, which is the generalization one possible generalization of what Hofmori, Shumitz, and Tachikawa and Yonekura showed. For the case m equal to one, it is precisely that. And then on top of this, you find an E6, 7, or 8 singularity in our case. And from the behavior of the geometry nearby the loci of this puncture, by just expanding the geometry, we can read off what is the structure of the poles of the Cyber-Witten differential and match it with the known results by Chakaltana-Distler and Tachikawa about the structure of the punctures. However, what we find is that there are many possible points. So for example, for the E8 theory, besides this point, there is another point in which you find a Riemann surface with Higer genus, with genus m minus one, and punctures in a number of four plus four m punctures, and a D4 singularity on top. So it is a theory of class S D4 with this structure. And on the other hand, for the E8 conformal matter, here we had a theory of class S E8 on this Riemann surface. So you see, the same 1,0 theory can give rise to very, very different systems as we put it on a torus. We have a system of this sort, in which this parameter is exactly marginal, and it gives rise to this SL to Z duality. And we have these other systems, in which instead of messing the deformations that we choose is such that this parameter is irrelevant, and so we lose the SL to Z duality. But we can keep, for example, the flavor symmetry in this case. And in this case, it's kind of a mixture of the two. And so this also gives an explanation of the fact that there was this moduli space of flat connection on tori, because when we put the conformal matter on T2, we can turn on Wilson lines in the diagonal of the flavor symmetry, which breaks it completely and gives rise to this affine quivers, and the moduli space of flat connections on T2 is explained by the moduli space of such Wilson lines. Okay, so in the paper you can see many more examples and also a construction. Using brain engineerings in type 2B, which allow us to consider systems which are not of orbifold type. For example, a stack of M5 brains, consider a stack of MM5 brains proving a C2 mod Zn singularity. And here, different chains of duality allow us to essentially recover these results or analogous statements for this system. But since I'm already over time, I think I will stop here. And I can continue afterwards if you are interested. So thank you.
This the classification refers to 6 or to 4 or 5. It doesn't.
Which classification?
Well, in fact, there's no classification. So
no.
This, the models that you present are in 4 or in
so,
5.
So I discussed a construction of 6-dimensional models, which are obtained as F theory on orbifold singularities, which the most general case takes, for example, this form. And these are models which are defined by the F theory construction. And what I have considered was then the compactification of such models down to 4-dimensional torus. And for doing that, you use mirror symmetry. Now, yes, exactly. Exactly. And from M theory on the same space, you can argue for the existence of 5D CFTs, but for this case, we know for sure that this is not going to happen. It's going to, I mean, because this case is really the analog of n equal to 4 superior means. So when you go on S1 in 5 dimension, you end up with a theory which is not conformal, like 5D n equal to 2. And only going down to a torus, you end up with a theory which is conformal and has this SL2Z invariant, which is n equal to 4 superior means. And in this case, we believe that this case is exactly a generalization of that to this 1,0 setup. And then, I mean, these are not the most general orbifold that we can construct, but whenever you have an orbifold construction of a 6D theory using F theory, then you can apply our methods to study what are the possible for the n equal to 2 theories that you get using the mirror symmetry and deformations of the Lambda-Ginzburg potential. Whenever you don't have orbifolds, then you need to fish for an orbifold construction. Then, I mean, in principle, this will all work, but we don't know how to write down the mirror. So we were able to write down the mirror for this simple class. Orbifold which have only one parameter. For example, in the case that you were referring, you will have two generators. It's going to be, I mean, well, also that case can be more or less treated, but.
Now, for the general logic, so here you have some, you pick a technique and you construct new models. Do you hope for some?
Well, these models were not really new. I mean, the existence of this follows from just the anomaly, not anomaly, the beta function cancellation, right? So we constructed them with Sergio and Simone Giacomelli long ago. But what follows from this construction is that these have this interesting duality, which was which generalizes. Generalizes the duality of these models. But now the question is, for example, how does this act on the actual BPS spectrum of these theories?
Do you hope to get some classification?
No, I mean, we just, I mean, you see, the question was whether, say, the story by Ganor, Morrison, and Seiberg extended in a easy way or not. Mainly, I mean, very interesting problem is to understand what happens when you put 6D1,0 on Riemann surfaces of general type. So in that case, one would expect to get an n equal to 1 theory, but this is like an easy case in which you choose sigma to be a torus, and so you can preserve more supersymmetry and you have more techniques available. But this was like an exercise in preparation to that. And already this revealed interesting outcomes. So I still find, I find surprising that the theories of class S with very different type can arise along the moduli space of a single 61,0 theory. So, yes.
Is there a Littlestrom version of this study?
Well, for the ones that are not orbifolds, but just a stack of M5s on C2 mod Zn, you can do a little string version of this. I don't know how to do it for more general.
There's some generic patch. Thing you can do. You could replace M5 by the mesh box. Each time you have construction with M5.
You can do the little string version.
Yeah.
I mean, what will happen? So what are the results when you take the little string?
Hey, you end up with the in this case you end up with the class S theories with no punctures on Riemann surface of high genus without punctures. If you want, I can explain it to you better after because it requires requires the discussion of another duality. But I'm willing to do it afterwards.
Any other questions?